Welcome today to Girdon First Assembly of God. We are so glad to have you with us. And I'm excited this morning to be starting a new sermon series entitled Escaping Your Haunted Past. I think if we take the time, all of us could share some things from our past, if we even wanted to share them, that may give us a, you know, keep us up at night, keep us from moving forward. And what I want to get into over this next few weeks is that God wants to set you free from your past. I believe in many here today even, your future is imprisoned by your past. But I want you to understand before this is over with that he wants to set you free to enter into the life that he has for you. You don't have to live ensnared by the past that you have experienced. And I want to start off here today. I'm just going to give you a brief overview or an idea of what we'll be covering over the next few weeks. Next week, we're going to talk about why biblically it is so important to forgive. We've done that a few months ago, but we're going to hit that again. I think it's very, very important for us to get and how we can forgive those that have hurt us, done wrong to us, even when they don't apologize, even when they haven't done their part. How we can do that ourselves so we can move past our past, so we can escape our haunted past. And that next week, in the third message of the series, we're going to talk about owning up to our own wrongs. Now, that's not something any of us like. We like the part where, you know, someone else messed up. Someone else is the reason why I'm dealing with this, and, you know, God's going to help me get over them. But sometimes we got to allow God to deal with us, to show us where we have been wrong in our past so that we can make things right, so that we can go and seek out restoration. And we're going to deal with that, how to initiate restoration and receive God's forgiveness and healing so we can leave that behind us and enter into what God has for us. And that the last week of this series, what we're going to look into is we're going to dive into how we can get past our own failures and mistakes and forgive ourselves. As I believe there's a lot of people, maybe there's some of you here this morning, God's forgiven you. You know God's forgiven you, but you can't forgive yourself. You may have set things right with others. You know that God has covered it with his blood, but you cannot forgive yourself. And we're going to get into that here today because I believe that's very important for you to be able to move forward and to experience what God has in your life. Well, today what I want to preach to you about or speak to you on this morning is the subject of breaking the labels that bind. As I talk about labels this morning, I think all of us know what I mean. If not, I'll explain it to you here. But somewhere in your past, someone labeled you. Someone called you something. Maybe it was in, you know, middle school. They gave you a nickname and it stuck. And it wasn't a good nickname. I had two nicknames in middle school. I'm still trying to live them down. I was called Bigfoot. My foot was the same size it is now when I was 10 years old. It's not a big deal now, but when you're this tall and you wear a size 10 shoe, you got made fun of. You know, clown feet, Bigfoot. That was one of my nicknames. And then I started wearing shoes that were too small, you know, and that causes problems. Another one of my nicknames, now, you're going to laugh when you hear it, and it's not because probably why you're thinking when you hear it. They called me Big Head. Now, it wasn't because I was prideful. It was because I had a huge head. My mom tells me stories of when I was a baby. They would come up to her and say, "Oh, your son has such a big head." And so, man, primary school, middle school, they called me Big Head. And, you know, it gave me a complex, and I finally figured out how to deal with it. I said, "Yeah, it's because I have more brains than you, and my grades prove it." And they shut up after that. But, you know, all of us probably have, there's something you can think back to. Maybe some of you kids are dealing with it now, teenagers, that the different things you're labeled by. And if you're not careful, they can begin to affect you. They can begin to hinder you, and you're moving forward. You're taking on what people call you. Maybe you even believe the lies or you've told yourself lies about yourself and they begin to affect you. You've been labeled and you're being held prison prisoner by your labels, by your past, by your mistakes. Maybe it's something you did to deserve the label. Nonetheless, you're being held prisoner by those labels, by what you went through, what you faced, what you've done. And it's keeping you from the future that God intended for you. Whether it's right or wrong, we carry labels and are affected by them. So here this morning, to prove a point, there's a few people in history, or even some of it may go to cartoons, that have labels. So I'm going to see if y'all recognize these. And I'm going to say a word, and you finish it for me, all right? All right. Attila the Hun, all right. Conan the, Billy the, Buffy the, Weenie the, y'all know that one. I hope you figured that one out. My kids like Winnie the Pooh. I want to make sure the kids in the room know how to understand what we're doing here. But you look at it, they're labels. We pick up labels. You may have one that people add on the end of your name. They may do it as a joke. It may be serious. It may not be. And I was looking back, too, on my past as a teenager, the one I struggled with, and it may not have been people calling me or telling me this or labeling me this, but this was who I was. I was Andrew the Timid. And I've shared with you some of that. And you laugh now as I'm preaching and always talking. You wish I'd just hush, you know. That preacher's going over again, you know. But as a kid, as a teenager, I was extremely timid. One chapel service, I was in a Christian school. We had chapel, and they would do prayer requests. And they get one of the students to come up and take them. And they asked me to. And all you have to do is get up and say, does anybody have any prayer requests? That's all you have to do. What did I do? I go and stand up behind the podium, and I stare at them for 5 minutes. I was terrified. My face is white as a ghost. And finally, the principal comes up and said, all right, son, you can go sit down now. I was terrified. You know, I knew God had called me to preach, and when I was 8 years old, that's the first time I did, and I did fine with it. But when I hit my teen years, I became very timid, very shy. I really, really, really struggled with this. And I remember, you know, how difficult that was. And it was painfully shy, and it hindered me. And it was something I struggled with that was an obstacle I had to overcome to become what God had called me to be. And if you went back and asked those kids I went to school with, you know, 12, 13, 14 years ago, and you asked them if you thought Andrew would ever become a pastor, they would have laughed in your face. Andrew, he can't even talk to a group of people. He can't stand up in front of class. You know, he's painfully shy. And because of that, you know, that was something I dealt with even out of high school, and I had to fight through it. The first, in 14, 15, 16, I did preach, and my dad would make me because he knew I was called to. And I would go, you know, after I got done, I'd just read my notes, and I'd go and I'd hide in a back room, terrified, ashamed because of my timidity. And what I want to ask you today is this: what is the negative label that has followed you? Maybe you've overcome it and you're thinking back to something that you overcome. Or maybe today there's some of you, there's a label that's attached to your name that currently follows you. You can't seem to get rid of it. You can't seem to shake it. It's just, when everyone sees you, that is what they think of. When you wake up in the morning and you look in the mirror, that is what you think of. What is that negative label that is attached to your name? It may not be shy or timid. Maybe you, it's doormat. You know, you're too nice to people, and you let people run over you constantly. Maybe you're the one who can't commit. Everyone knows you that way. Yeah, that's so-and-so. Yeah, they broke up with that person and that person and that person. They get engaged, and they break it off over and over again. They just can't commit. Maybe you're known as the, you were known, and it's still there. You're known as a party girl or whatever. Maybe you're known as insecure or overly sensitive. Maybe the label is irresponsible, or maybe it's just average. You're just known as the average person, just average at school, average at life, and you've bought into that label. You think, well, if everyone says it, then certainly it must be so. And I want you to think about this morning. If you even have a pen, I want you to write down that label that comes to your mind. The negative label that most comes to your mind that people think of you, or you even think of yourself. Now, as you're thinking about that here this morning, here's something that I want you to think about, okay? As you're considering that, what is that negative label? Here's something I want you to get. And we're going to really push this as we get into the series. And it is this: God's power is bigger than your past. God's power is greater than whatever label someone else has put on you. Maybe it's a label you deserve because of what you've done. God is greater. God's truth is bigger than people's opinions of you. What's true about you today? Maybe you deserve it. Maybe you've done everything to claim that label, to get that label. Whatever is true of you today does not have to be true of you tomorrow, because God is able to change the labels that are placed on you. He's able to change who you are from the inside out. And what once was no longer has to be here today. There's some of you this morning, you come into the service carrying that label. You're wearing it on your shirt this morning. In other words, you're not hiding it. You're aware of it. You've accepted it. That's how it's always going to be. But what I want you to get here today is that God is wanting to rewrite your story. It's not for you to accept your past, as it's always going to be that way. But I want to let you know today that God is able to take that label off and give you a new name. And we're going to get into that here this morning, because this is what I believe. I believe over the next few weeks, God is wanting to do something supernatural in this church and in your life. There's some of you, you're just weighed down by your past. You're overcome by it and the weight of it. And this is what I believe that God wants to do. God, through the power of Christ, wants to break the labels that bind you and hinder you from moving into your future. And he wants to give you new hope and to give you life, and that more abundantly. Now, there's three things as I consider this today, and as I pray about this, you know, I'm asking that God would give you a new God-centered view of yourself. And maybe that's something that you need to be praying as we go through this series. God, give me a new God-centered view of who you believe me to be and who you want me to be. And what I want to give you today is three things that I believe help us, that God will do in us to help us to get that new God-centered view of us. And there's a scripture, 1 Corinthians, I believe it is 5, verse 17. We have it. Excuse me, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. This really sums up what I want to get across to you today, and it's this. It says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Let's say that again. He is a... It doesn't say anything about you're held bound by your past. You're the same person. It says you are a new creation. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. If any man be in Christ, if you are in him, if you are a child of God, if you have bought into this thing, you've allowed him to become your Savior, you've made him Lord of your life. The scripture tells us all things are made new. And all the old is gone. It's stripped away. That past, that label, what everyone else has called you, maybe what you've bought into, what you believed about yourself. He said, hey, when you become mine, it's new now. Those labels, you need to let them go. That past, you need to get rid of them, because I have something new for you. I have something new that I want to do in your life. So this is what I want you to get. If you are in Christ, that past that holds you back can be defeated through the power of Christ. And that past that has held you hostage is going to hold you no longer. For the scripture tells us this, for whom the Son is set free is free indeed. In other words, it's not just halfway. It's just not partway, but it's all the way. God wants to set you free. So here's three thoughts that I believe will set you free from the labels that bind. The first one is this, is that our God will give you a new name. That old name, think of it. That old label, I want you to think about it for a minute. But here's what I want you to get, is that the way that you get the new God-centered view of yourself that God wants you to have is to know this, that God wants to give you a new name. Isaiah 62 and verse 2 tells us this. It says, you will be called by a new name that the mouth of the Lord will bestow. In other words, God is going to give you a new name. Many of you, I believe here today, you've been held back by something you believe, what something has said, what label they've put on you. Maybe You know, it's rightfully so, whatever the case may be, but today God wants to bestow or to give you a new name. That sound exciting to you this morning? Instead of the addict, he wants you to be known as the leader who helps others overcome their addiction. You know, instead of the one who is always a mess, always insensitive and insecure, unable to function, to become strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Today, God wants to give you a new name. And now, you know, this is something you girls may understand, you ladies. Think back to when you were dating, and I've seen this happen so many times, especially in college with some of our friends, and this couple would start dating, and you see this girl over there writing her name, adding his to the end of it, you know. I don't think Sarah ever did this, I'm sure. I'm not going to ask her here this morning, you know, but they write theirs, and they take his last name, and they put it there, and they circle it, and they put hearts around it, and X's and O's, and they're trying to imagine what it will be when they get that new name. Because of that relationship with that man, they're excited about that. And so, you know, they begin to write all those things and all the new title that they'll have. And so they begin to think about it. But here's something for you to think about, is when we become part of the body of Christ, the scripture also refers to the church as the bride of Christ. God wants to give you his name. He wants to give you a new name. He wants to show you that whatever you were, he wants to make it new again. He has something for you that maybe you could never even have imagined of. He will replace your old title with a new name. He's going to take that label and rip it off and say, hey, I've got a new name for you. If you look in Scripture, there's a ton of examples, and I don't have time to go through all of them here this morning. You'll be here till 1 or 2 o'clock, and I don't want to do that to you. But one of the examples that I can think of is Abram and Sarai. Now, we know Abraham and Sarah, but that wasn't their name originally. It was Abram and Sarai. Instead of H, there was an I on the end, at least in the translation, that's how it comes across to us. But it was more than just a letter change or adding a few letters to the end of a name. It meant something. Because Abram and Sarai, they wanted to have kids so bad. They wanted to, you know, have children. That was the desire of their heart. But if you go read in the book of Genesis, they couldn't have kids. But then one day God came along and he made a promise to Abram and Sarai. And he said, hey, you can't have kids, but here's something I want you to get. You're going to have children, and your descendants are going to be as the sand of the seashore. They're going to be innumerable. They're going to be as the stars of the sky. But he didn't stop there, and he said, to make this point, I'm going to change your name. He said, Abram, you're no longer going to be Abram. Your new name is going to be Abraham. And Sarai, I'm going to change your name to Sarah, which the definition of their name meant this. Abraham and Sarah meant the father and the mother of many nations. Now think about this. They are barren. They don't have any children. And God says, I'm going to give you a new name. And this name means you are the father and the mother of many nations. And he told them, this is what I'm going to do. And you can go read the story. It didn't happen instantly. They didn't have a child the next day or 9 months from then. It was years, and it was a struggle believing it. But God gave them a new name, and he did that work in them. We see the many children they had. Also, let's think about Jacob. You know who Jacob is? It was their grandson there. Jacob, what did Jacob mean? Jacob means conniver. It means one, a trickster, thief. And that's what Jacob was. You go see what he did to his brother. He stole his brother's birthright, didn't he? And he had an encounter with God. And the scripture tells us he wrestled with the man or an angel or God. And when it was over with, that angel struck his thigh, and he limped for the rest of his life. But he said, I'm going to give you a new name. You're no longer going to be called Jacob. You're going to be called Israel. You're no longer going to be called conniver, but Israel, which means one who has wrestled and or God has prevailed. So he went from being known as a conniver, a thief, you know, someone who's always scheming, to being known as God has prevailed, or I've wrestled with God and prevailed. And so he had a new name. There's others that we can go on and we can talk about this morning that God gave them a new name. And that new name was powerful. It had meaning to it. How about Gideon? Anyone know who Gideon is? Now, Gideon was a guy who was timid. This one spoke to me because it's something I struggle with. But he was more than that. He was a coward. He was hiding from the enemy, kind of in a cave, hiding where no one could find him. And then God comes up to him and speaks to him. What does God call Gideon? Does he call him a coward? He said, no. He said, Gideon, stand up, thou mighty man of valor. Think about that. God gave him a new name. And here's something I want you to know today is that God is wanting to change your name. He wants to do something in your life. He wants to give you a new name. There's a young man that went to the Christian school that my dad ran. He was a principal and my mom taught there. And I remember this year we got two boys, brothers. They both had mental disorders. And they had been told by their teachers in the local schools there that you will never read. 12 and 14 years old. And so my mom took them in and she began to teach them. She actually took them into her kindergarten class. And she told them, one of them, his name was John. He said, John, you will read. You're not stupid. And that's what he would tell me. He said, I'm stupid. I can't read. My teachers told me I'll never be able to. I don't have the ability to. And my mom sat down with him and said, John, you can read. Those labels are lies. You know, within 6 months, John was reading. Within 6 months, his older brother that couldn't read as well, he was legally blind. They said, well, you shouldn't even, it's just not possible. He was reading too. It took just someone coming along and saying, hey, I know this is what someone has told you, but I want to tell you something different, that you can. You're not stupid. God has a plan for your life. You're not finished. God can do great things with you. And before long, these kids were thriving because somebody took time to change the label on them. And here's what I want to tell you today. There's some of you bought into what other people have called you. You bought into even what you've said about yourself. But today, God wants to give you a new name. And he's going to let you know what he wants to do in your life. You may feel unworthy. You may feel like you're never going to grow into the name that he gives you. But I want you to understand today, if you'll let that God who gives you the new name work in you, he can make you different than what you ever imagined. There's some of you, you know, he's going to give you a name that at first it's hard for you to grasp, but you can grow into it. It's like when I was voted in here as pastor. People call me Pastor Andrew or whatever. At first it was like, what? You know? I'm not a pastor. I'm a kid, you know. I'm a youth pastor. I've done that. And it took a while. I had to grow into it. There's some things that you have to grow in. And God may give you a name. Maybe it's forgiven. Maybe it's he's going to come to you and he's going to tell you, you're transformed. You know, I'm going to do a work in you. You're an overcomer. And at the moment, you're not. You're living in bondage. You're letting the past hold you back. But God's going to come along and whisper in your ear, you're an overcomer. At first, it may be hard to take and accept, but know this, if you'll walk with God, you can grow into the new name that he gives you. Others, I believe God's wanting to give you the name spiritual leader. Right now, you don't feel like it. You don't think you could be the one, but God's wanting to raise you up in your home to be a leader. I've seen it over the last year, God raising up people in this auditorium to be spiritual leaders, to begin to do things they never thought they would do because they begin to listen to what God was telling them. Hey, I've got something for you. I have a new name for you. Others, you know, you may struggle with your job as a parent, but today God's calling you a great dad, a great mom, and you can grow into that as you walk with God. So this morning, quit believing the lies others have told you, the labels they put on you, and start believing what God has to say about you. So the first thing we need to do is understand our God will give you a new name, but also God will give you a new purpose. Anybody know who Simon is in the Gospels? At least that's what he was called at first. Simon was someone we know later as Peter, but he was an uneducated fisherman. Labels that should have been applied to his name were unstable, unpredictable, and a hothead. If you see him, even as Jesus called him, that's what he was. He was always, you know, blowing up, always wishy-washy. One minute, God, I'll never forsake you. The next time, you see me denying Jesus three times. These are labels that could have been applied to Simon. But one day, as Jesus is talking to him, and we know it when Jesus called him, he said, hey, you're a fisherman. I'm going to make you a fisher of men. In other words, Simon, I'm going to do things in you you never thought were possible. You're going to be a world changer. And so he called Simon out, and he began to follow him, and he gave him that new name. But then one day, Jesus was talking with the disciples, and he said, hey, guys, who do men say that I am? They begin to tell him. Some say you're Elijah, Elisha. Some say you're this prophet, that prophet. Then he turned to them, and he said, I want you to answer this question. He said, who do you say that I am? And Peter gave, or Simon at the time, gave an answer. He said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And then Jesus turns to him, and you can read this. I believe it's Mark 16. And this is what Jesus said. He said, and I tell you, after he made the point, man has not revealed to you, but your Father in heaven. He said, and I tell you this, that you are Peter. And Peter meant rock. He said, you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So what we find here is that Jesus finds Peter, and he gives him a new purpose. You're no longer going to be a fisherman. You're going to be a fisher of men. But in giving him a new purpose, he also gave him a new name. He said, you're going to be known as the Rock. Now, something to think about, did Peter instantly become the Rock? No. It was shortly after that he denied Christ three times. He didn't instantly become what Christ had called him. Again, that's something that you might have to grow into. But as you look at this, that Peter even failed. But he began to grow into his name and into the purpose that God had given him. And something I see that even after Peter denied Christ and he went out and wept bitterly, and we know Christ was died and crucified and he resurrected. On the day of Pentecost, which of the disciples preached? Peter. Peter, the one who failed, the one who missed up. But Jesus said, you know what, Peter? I have a purpose for you. I see who you're going to become, not who you are currently. There's some here today, God has great things for you. And the reason the devil keeps bringing up your past is because he knows what God can do in your future. I want you to get this here today. There's some of you, the devil keeps telling you, you'll always be an addict, you'll always have a bad marriage, you're always going to be like this, you're never going to overcome this temptation. Well, today God wants to tell you, I've got a future for you, but you need to quit listening to the lies of the devil. I have a new name. I have a new purpose. And the third thing that I want you to know today to become or get to the place that you get that God-centered view of yourself that you need to have is that God wants to give you a new future. And quit, this is something I want to tell you today, saying I will never or it will always be this way. I'll never have a good marriage. I'll always be in this addiction place. I always struggle with that. It's always going to be like this. Today, it's time that we quit speaking those faithless words and believe in the lies of the devil and instead believe what God's word says about us and what he wants to do in us. That we take a hold and know that God has a future for us. And the scripture that you probably know it well, but I believe it's so powerful and something we need to take to heart today. It's found in Jeremiah 29 verse 11. He said, I know the thoughts I have towards you, says the Lord. He said, I know the future that I have for you, the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. The devil wants to remind you of your past and say your future is nothing because of what you've done. But God says, hey, it's time you quit listening to that. I know the plans that I have. I know what I want to do, the Lord says. They're plans to give you hope and a future. There's some here this morning, you may not have hope. You think this is it, that's all there is to it. But today, God wants to speak hope into your life and let you know I have a bright future for you. I have a plan for you. You know, you think about it, there's some, I don't know if anyone's in this category here, but you get a bunch of teenage girls together, or maybe they're in their 20s and they're not married yet, and they say, well, I'm always the bridesmaid, never the bride. And my sister would say that sometimes. She got married last year, I don't know how many weddings she was in. And sometimes she'd be, you know, at first she began to buy into that until she gave it to God. She said, you know what, if I get married or not, I'm going to serve God. And it finally started, things started happening in her life. You know, always it's going to be this way. My kids will never grow up and do anything. I've been this way, an addict my whole life. It's always going to be this way. But God says something else about your future. And he wants to give you a hope. And he wants to give you something beyond what you could ever imagine. I think one of the greatest examples in Scripture of this is a lady who is known by her title. She's mentioned 8 times in Scripture, and 6 of the 8, her label goes along with her name. Help me out. Her name was Rahab the harlot, the prostitute. She's mentioned 8 times in Scripture, 6 times that prostitute label is attached to her name. And you look at that and you say, well, she doesn't have a future. We went over this last Christmas. We did a series on that. You know, Rahab, there's, you know, nothing good can come out of this. And you look at this life, and no doubt she thought, I'm used goods. No one will want me. But you'll find that as 2 spies made their way to Jericho, she risked her life for them to protect them. And she began to hear about the God of Israel. There's actually one place in Scripture that it says that she heard about him, she wept. And I discovered this here, studying the other day, that when she began to hear about the power of the God of Israel, she wept. And the reason that this woman, we get from why she did what she did to help the Israelites out, is because she wanted to know the power of their God. She wanted to know what he could do, and so she helped them. And something happens as Jericho was destroyed. And she held, the story goes, there was to be a scarlet cord that was hung out her window, and God would protect her and her family. And he did. He saved their life. And they became one with the children of Israel. Now, Rahab, the harlot of Jericho, now dwells with the Israelites as they're going through the promised land. And you know what? We could, you know, look at her and write her off and say, well, at least she found these people and found some friends. And she now could know what God could do. But, you know, she was finished. But God had something else in mind. Because she met a man named Salmon. What a name. It's kind of fishy, don't you think? She met a man named Salmon, a good man with a good reputation, known to be a man of God among the Israelites, and he married Rahab the harlot. And if you go and read it, she had a son, but about 6 generations down, one of her great-great-great-grandson, his name was Jesus Christ. You know what? The devil may tell you you don't have a future because of your past, but I'm here to tell you today, because of what Jesus did on the cross, your past can be pushed aside. God can forgive you. Doesn't mean you're not going to have to suffer some of the consequences, but also know that what Jesus did on the cross can set you free from your past. He can give you a future. You can't go back and change what happened yesterday, but you can give God your present and know that he'll do great things tomorrow in your life if you'll just recognize that he is the one that's going to have to do it. As I talked about, there's 3 things that have to happen for us to get a God-centered view of ourselves, the one that God wants us to do. And it's when God gives us a new name. It's when God gives us a purpose. And it's when God gives us the future that he wants us to have. Today, your past may not be what you want it to be, but here's something I want to leave with you today, and you can go ahead. I think you already got it up here, and this is something I want you to remember. Refuse to let the labels of your past limit God's plan for your future.